If you're a future Libby lawyer, there's an exciting step I'm guessing you haven't taken yet. What is it? Figuring out the type of badass lady lawyer you should be. How do you do that? Well, let us tell you.
A longtime friend of the podcast and kick-ass new lawyer coach, Angela Borpal, has put together a free What Type of Lawyer Should I Be quiz. This is a 90-second quiz designed to reveal the type of law that will best fit your interests, career goals, and lifestyle. Can I get a yes, please? So, don't wait another second. Go to whattypeoflawyerquiz.com to take the first step towards your dream future lawyering life. And then make sure and send us a DM on Instagram to let us know what type of lawyer you got. We can't wait to nerd out over it with you.
Hey guys, and welcome back to Ladies Who Law School podcast. I'm Haley.
And I'm Sam.
And welcome to episode 26.
We are so thankful for all our new listeners. If you're new, hi.
Hello.
And if you have been here since the beginning, hi again. Mm-hmm. So just a few updates for you guys, because we have quite a few. I guess the biggest one is our school update. Mm-hmm. Pretty much like how our schedule is going to be looking like. They have emailed us and gave us kind of the lowdown of what it's going to look like.
Yeah.
So Haley, what are some of these changes that we're so excited to be implementing in the fall?
Yeah. So some of our classes are online in more of a hybrid style, where half the class comes in one day of the week and the other half of the class is online. So I'm pretty okay with that. I mean, I think that it's the best way to work around the situation that we're in. We did have to sign up for a different class, or not a different class, but we had to change our schedules around. So we have to sign up for another class, legal professions, or some law schools call it like PR, professional something. I don't know what the R stands for, but it's that class that you basically have to take for the MPRE. So yeah, we're going to have to sign up for that. I might end up taking that online. I know some of our other classes are offered in McLaughlin Hall, which is for some of our future OCU 1Ls. It's basically just a really large open space in the law school. And I think obviously they're doing that because of the space, and people can be more spread out in there and you can have more students in there. So yeah, basically a lot of our classes are going to be in there. And I know pretty much all the 1Ls have the fifth floor upstairs all day, every day. I think only one of their classes is online. And yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're really lucky. All of the classes that we had signed up for are going to be in person, even though it's smaller sections. So I'm really excited about that, because to be honest, guys, this online law school is just not my jam. I had a final yesterday for one of my online summer classes, and let's just say I don't want to take another online class again, because that was, I just don't learn the best way, and it's hard for me to really pay attention. I mean, I think anyone that takes online classes right now could agree.
Yeah, I mean, online law school is not easy, that's for sure. You definitely have to put your best foot forward and really try to stay focused. So I totally get that.
I think if I wasn't doing an internship as well, I would have been able to focus more, but you know, it is what it is. We'll be fine. Another update. So we've mentioned this before, but we are planning on dropping new merch later this summer, maybe early fall. We're still getting everything in the works, but there's still a few things on our website that you guys can get. We have some new stickers. We have like one gray sweatshirt, just because a lot of you guys were asking for a sweatshirt. So that's the one that we could get, because unfortunately the pink and the blue, they're out of stock.
Yeah. So basically it just comes in one color, which is great.
And then, so, you know, check out that merch. And also, thank you everyone who's joined the Facebook group. It's been really nice getting to know all of you with your posts and stuff.
Yeah, and I really appreciate everyone's feedback that gave me feedback for this week's episode and upcoming episodes. I know we got a lot of really great ideas, so we're going to be doing those in the future and as we continue forward.
So today we're going to be talking about basically social life in law school, from dating to navigating your friendships, making friends, when to find time to socialize, kind of where to meet people. We'll talk about how it was for us, and then also like what you can do, you know, with social distancing and stuff. I know that's going to be a huge change for 1Ls, because I know our 1L experience, our first semester, we were very social and there was a lot to do. And I just don't know how that's going to play out this fall.
Yeah. In a COVID world, I mean, I think it can be, is that me?
Okay,
so Colton always makes fun of me for saying that. Dating other law students. I mean, I think this is just inevitable. I mean, you're with these people all the time, literally many hours a day. You slowly start to develop relationships, and sometimes crushes come out of that. I mean, it happens in the workplace all the time. When you're in law school, I mean, I think there's a few factors that play into it. Obviously, like the amount of time you're together, the other people there, maybe your ambition and your intentions with that person and in law school. You know, some people might, and a lot of people are married or dating someone when you come to law school. So, you know, usually you find the single people and everyone goes out together. And yeah, I mean, they're like-minded. It's pretty genuine and what's the word I'm looking for? Organic, that it just comes out of like meeting people in law school. So I think dating in law school, so let's just say just dating, like you're single and you go to law school, you know, dating in law school and dating someone that's also in law school with you. I mean, obviously those are two different things, but if you do date someone at law school, I mean, I think that there's differences than dating someone who doesn't understand maybe what you're going through.
I think there's definitely some do's and don'ts. I think if you've been listening to the podcast, you obviously know that I'm dating another law student. I'm like the poster child for, you know, every article you've ever read about dating in law school. So, I mean, I think the first thing that you have to realize is that law school is a very tight-knit community at most. I mean, especially at our school, from what I know. And I've heard from other law students at other schools that, I mean, it is like high school. It's very clicky and close-knit. So everyone finds out everything.
Yeah. And the reason it's like high school or clicky and close-knit, like she says, it's because you're with each other for so many hours on end. And you are around each other a lot, and you're going through the same and similar circumstances. So you find yourself leaning on these people or conversating with these people, and you end up, you know, like I said, developing these relationships. So what are some of your do's?
The first would have to be, so let's say you have a crush on somebody, you start dating them. I think that you have to really think about, okay, is this person going to be long-term? And is it, if it's not, is it worth it to do this right now? Because you have to realize if you guys break up, I mean, it's not going to be, especially like if, I mean, I remember when John and I started dating, we were like, okay, this is going to be really awkward if we, you know, we weren't planning on breaking up, but we obviously had the conversation. Like if we did, how's that going to be like being in the same section and being, seeing each other every single day for the rest of the year?
Yeah.
And into 2L, because you know you're in your same section for some of your 2L classes. So that's definitely something you have to think about. Really, I would say be careful about. I mean, I couldn't imagine like going through a breakup with someone in my section, and it, you know, I don't know. That would just be really hard for me.
I mean, I think there's people who just like date other law students. I think like there's something to be said about like going on dates and then like being boyfriend and girlfriend and like in a committed relationship, you know? And I think like dating your classmates can be like super organic and genuine. I think it's exactly what you're saying. Like when you decide to take it to the next level, like that's when you have to think about the repercussions and, you know, if something does happen, I mean, you want to be positive and like have the best sense, but you want to be a realist as well. I totally get that. And you want to basically be like, hey, partner, you know, if we break up, like, you know, what's this going to be like? Like, are we going to break up? Like, are you just like dating me for fun, you know?
And another thing is like a lot of it's, I mean, there's just so much that goes into it. I mean, it all starts with, I mean, for me, I know that I didn't want people to find out because I didn't want people to be uncomfortable because we were in the same section. I was like, I don't know. Like, I don't want people to know we're dating. And then like, you know,
but also all, you shouldn't care.
I know. And I think that was me as like a 1L coming in, like thinking, oh, everyone's going to be thinking like, you know, oh, they're dating. Like, that's so weird, but it's not weird because guess what? We're not the only couple in her 1L class.
If anything, they're the most out couple in the class. That's what I'm saying. Like, there's a lot of people
keep things under wraps.
Yeah. And so like, I see what you're saying about keeping it under wraps, but eventually after 6 months, people start to catch on. Like, you're with some of the smartest people.
I know, but some people still ask me. They'll be like,
"Well, I think they want to confirm
dating." I'm like, "Oh yeah, we've been dating for like 9 months."
They're like, "Oh, so it's confirmed?" And you're like, "Yes, it's confirmed."
No. So, I mean, my superlative, which is like, I don't really.
They were funny. They're just like,
yeah, they were funny. But I guess mine,
everyone basically got one.
Mine was most likely to date another law student. I guess that's just like
because she is one of the only ones that did it.
Yeah. And I would say that we're probably the only couple that's been dating like the longest.
But what, and by dating, I think
it's like it's not just like going on dates. It's like we're boyfriend, girlfriend.
Yeah.
Which I think is a lot of another thing. Like there's couples, right? I'm saying that in like air quotes, but a lot of people are just never gonna, I mean, they may feel the same thing that I did. It's like, I don't want to really expose myself that I'm dating another law student. I'm sure
that hinders the relationship. Yeah. So like you can't ever truly progress if you don't want it to be exposed. There's something to be said about once you do decide that you want to be in a committed relationship, basically just do put yourself out there. Like do put your heart into it because you can't be in a relationship if you don't. Try, and it's going to be weird and hard, but like, so is every other relationship. Like we're going to be lawyers, dude. We're working so much where you're having to keep a lot of things in because we legally can't talk about it. And now you have a potential partner that could potentially be your partner in a law firm and you can talk to about these things. I think that that is something that deep down everybody probably in law school, you know, thinks about and looks at like, wow, what it would be like to, you know, date another or marry another lawyer. And I mean, I don't blame other girls for coming in and thinking like, maybe I'll meet someone here. Like, I think that's totally normal and organic. And I think, you know, don't be boy crazy, but like, do, if you find someone or something has developed, you know, don't be afraid to go after it.
We'll be right back.
Hey guys, we want to take a moment to talk about something that has been a game changer for us busy lawyers, Audible.
Yes, Audible has been our go-to platform for incredible audiobooks, offering an extensive library of thrillers, nonfiction, autobiographies, and mysteries.
And guess what? We've got a special treat for you. Audible is offering a free trial to our listeners, and all you need to do is check the link in the show notes. It's the perfect opportunity to experience the magic of audiobooks without spending a dime.
Speaking of thrillers, I know you are currently hooked on Never Lie by Freda McFadden. Samantha, can you tell us a little bit about it?
Absolutely. The twists and turns in Never Lie have kept me on the edge of my seat during the workday and even when I'm on my daily walks. It's like having a suspenseful companion wherever I go.
And for those looking for some financial wisdom, I have been engrossed in My Money, My Way by Kamuku Love. It's packed with practical advice on managing finances, perfect for anyone trying to navigate the complexities of money management.
What we love most is the flexibility Audible offers. As lawyers, our schedules can be unpredictable, but with Audible, we can enjoy our favorite books on the go, whether we're stuck in traffic, hitting the gym, or waiting for a court hearing.
So, if you're ready to embark on a literary journey and discover the joys of audiobooks, click the link in the show notes to start your free trial with Audible. Trust us, you won't want to miss out on this fantastic offer.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that dating another law student for me has been great just because we obviously have very similar goals. I think everyone in law school, you know, you want to be a successful lawyer and, you know, that's a big thing. It's nice to have someone who understands what law school is like when I'm stressed and I'm crying or I'm having an anxiety attack. Like, he gets it because he's going through like the same thing. So we have to support each other. You know, it's also, I think if you're going to be dating another law student, a good way to make it not all about the law is consciously not talking about law school when you're not at law school. Like, I know at the beginning, our relationship was, I mean, everything about law school was our relationship. And we had to make a conscious effort to not make it about that because then it can get pretty...
Well, then you start to wonder, is this all our relationship is?
Exactly.
I mean, that's with anything, you know, like if you meet someone going out and all you ever do is go out with them, you're like, is this all our relationship is, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think as young 1Ls, like your mind is already messed up from the whole situation that you're going through and finals and everything. I know that's when y'all had like your worst trials and tribulations was when the stress was so high.
I mean, just to put it in perspective, like we've never really fought like when we were in finals, like the first semester, because the stress is just insane. Like I wasn't eating. I think all our friends were, we were even having issues just with friendship wise. Like mm-hmm. we weren't communicating. We'll talk about that a little later when we talk about friends. But I guess it's a blessing that he was also a law student and he understood and we understood why we were acting like this. And I feel like if you're dating someone that's maybe not in law school, that if you're going through that period of time with that high stress, it might be hard for them to understand, like, why are you acting this way?
Yeah. And I mean, I get the question of like, why are you acting out? Why are you so angry? Like, it's just so much stress built up. Like you really have to, I can see why so many attorneys in my office go to Orange Theory, like early in the morning.
Or like boxing.
That's
running.
What I'm saying. Like high intensity running where you're just like killing yourself to get this energy out that you just store up, you know? And whenever you're a 1L, you don't know that. You don't know how to handle that. You're basically dating this guy.
And everything's new.
Exactly. And then everything's new at school. It's like work and your relationship being brand freaking new.
Plus social life. I mean, when you go to law school, I mean, your whole life becomes law school if you're a full-time day student.
I really
right?
want that to be like... understood.
Yeah, like your whole life becomes law school. Like the people you hang out with, they become your best friends most likely. I mean, if you really dive into it, like the whole experience, right? The people that you're going to be dating, I mean, a lot of people will date within the law school and that's just like what they're going to do, you know? And it's a very close-knit community. But yeah. I guess, you know,
but the legal community in general, most likely wherever you're going is going to be close-knit, small, and
everything.
Everybody knows.
Yeah,
everybody.
Everyone knows everybody, and you know everything.
And
about
everybody's
everything.
Related to somebody. So
gossip travels fast.
You don't want to be caught talking dirty about someone, also. And that's, you know, going back to what you said about the repercussions, it's like you don't want to date someone and then have a bad look on you. Because, I mean, think about it. Anytime you've dated someone and you end up as their ex, like the relationship with their parents and everything after, like, you don't really talk to them. So if you were using, not necessarily using, that's a bad word, but like say your girlfriend or your boyfriend's dad is like a highfalutin judge or defense attorney, so on, whatever in town, like you don't want to make bad blood with that. Mm-hmm. So like, you got to make sure you know who everybody is
that's
and how everyone's connected.
That's a huge thing. Like we always say, like, be nice to everybody at law school because you never know when you're going to need them in the future. Mm-hmm. You never know if you're going to have a case where you're going to have to refer somebody or have them refer them to you.
Or they're going
to
be the DA.
Exactly. You never know. And that's why I think relationships in law school, not only friendships, mm-hmm. but relationships are just so important. I just couldn't imagine just knowing how the legal community works now, like being in the internship and knowing how word travels fast. And, you know, if one attorney messes up, like, you know what? Everybody knows, like, the next day. So,
yeah,
you know.
For sure. I mean, going kind of off of that, like with the friendship aspect, I think, you know, and whenever we say like a friend versus, you know, an acquaintance and things like that. Like, what exactly is a friend in law school? I mean, we've gotten a ton of questions about competition and competitiveness and like, can you really have friends in law school? And I mean, obviously we've had a great experience, but I mean, I know that there are people out there that have lost friends and have made different friends because they lost friends, and people come and go, but that's life, you know? And I think that that's important to like remember and recognize, because, and that's why going off what Samantha said about being nice to everyone, because you never know who you might actually like. In law school, we are very, you know, tunnel minded and tunnel focused, right? You only see the light at the end and you're just working towards this goal, and all these people are around you doing the same thing. And sometimes when you get out, you're like, oh my gosh, we were in law school together. Like, hey, and then they become one of your friends. Like, you never know.
Yeah, I totally agree. So what is your first, I guess, tip to make friends in law school? Like, what is your course of action, or what did you do in order to make friends? Because I already know, but I'm asking you.
Okay, so how to make friends. I mean, usually there is some kind of way to... Okay, I'll give you two examples. So in law school here where we go, there was a Facebook page where everyone was admitted was on. And I basically just went through there and like looked at different people, and it you know, usually that Facebook algorithm refers some people to like add as a friend. So I added a few people as friends, and then I, you know, they're on your timeline, so you see some of their stuff. And then from there, I basically just went to Instagram and like looked up different people and like see who they're about. And I would add them. I know I've in past situations, like I kind of think of law school, you know, it's kind of like when you first go to summer camp, or, you know, the first day of school, any new place. But I don't know about you. I mean, it's like, I haven't done that in forever, but everyone's new and everyone's fresh. And so you just kind of start talking to people. If you don't have like a Facebook page before, you know, the first thing I do is look around for people that are like me or wearing something that I like, or, you know, someone I can easily give a compliment to and strike up a conversation. I am super outgoing, so I understand that that is like not the easiest thing to do. But usually the shy girl or guy is going to appreciate that because they aren't going to start the conversation.
I mean, that's basically the situation that happened with us.
Yeah.
Because like you had followed me on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Followed you back, and then we like DM'd for, you know, I think I said something about your apartment, and then we DM'd, but then we met in person, and she's definitely the more outgoing one. Like, I'm not, I mean, we had talked, but I was like afraid to even go up to her probably, you know? So yeah, I think you just have to put your best foot forward.
Yeah. And I think that there's like in that moment where you're about to meet someone, it's awkward, like, or not awkward. It can be awkward if you make it awkward. And by making it awkward means like you just feel awkward. So my personal thing is like, I hate like the waiting. So, I mean, when I first got there, like there's so many people, like 250
people. So many.
People.
And it's like, well, for us at orientation, it's one big hall, like a amphitheater kind of thing with just like 200 plus people.
Yeah.
All in
so
suits.
I couldn't like find them, you know? Samantha, and she had already made other friends. So, I mean, like, that's kind of how it goes, right? Like, you meet other people and then you start hanging out with them, and you kind of just like meet a bunch of people in the class, and you realize, like, it's, I mean, I don't know if this is like another thing, but if you've gone through recruitment,
yes,
like, it's a lot like that is the meeting people thing where you have a small talk and you're like, oh, we have things in common, or, oh, we don't. And I would look for people who were in my section, you know, and be like, oh, these are the people, because some of the girls I met the very first day, they're in section two. And like, yeah, I know them, but obviously I didn't like make like this huge relationship with them because they weren't in my section. And I didn't see them that often. So whenever I do see them, like, at school, it's nice to be like, hey, but we don't ever sit around and like talk, you know?
We'll be right back.
Are you somebody that's been dealing with betrayal trauma? Are you somebody that has a really giant heart and you want to give back to this world, but you're not sure how you can do that because your trust has been broken? Well, I've got good news for you. I have the perfect podcast for you to come and listen to. It's called The Other Side of the Struggle, Healing from Betrayal Trauma by Erin Anderson Betrayal Trauma Coaching. Come learn how to trust again. Come learn how to open up that giant heart and heal from your betrayal trauma at The Other Side of the Struggle on all major platforms.
Yeah, and I think just talking about sections real quick, at our school at least, it's very hard to meet the other section. You barely see them on campus, in the building, like you'll see them around. But I mean, our sections, I think, are pretty separate. I don't know exactly why. I think it's
actually really common because I think whenever you're with the teachers and you just kind of like get used to these group of people, whenever you see someone new, like already in this crazy time of law school, like you're not really ready for some more new. You're kind of like, okay, hey, person that I've seen. And that's why I feel like the handful of people that I met in section two, like I still like know them now, but there's people still, you'll be like, I didn't even know you went to our school.
Yeah.
And our school is not that big.
I mean, I would say I know just a handful of people in section two by name.
That's what I'm saying. So, you know, and if you're a more gregarious, outgoing person, like, of course you can reach out and like talk to the people like of the other sections, you know, and now we're going to have six sections.
So, which is insane. If I'm not in the same section as Haley, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Well, I mean us, but like one else at our school, we're going to have six sections. So if, you know, you're going to be only knowing, let's say 30 people, because that's all that can be in the class. Like those are only going to be the people that you met. You're going to have to make a conscious effort to reach out to other girls or guys that you like want to be friends with, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that I think especially now with COVID and having the smaller sections, at least that's how our school's doing it. I think 1L's talk like at 1L's, you're going to have to put a lot of effort, I think, into reaching out to people in your section and getting things going, because if you don't, you're going to be literally just knowing those 30 people that are in your section. And I'm not kidding you, you won't see anybody else.
Yeah. And that's no fun because you're going to be like, dang,
you're going to feel like you're missing out because
made friends, and you're going to be like, well, cause you've only hung out with like 30 people, and the chances of you like hitting it off with more than one person out of a group of 30 is like very slim that you'll even like really like one of them. So, you know, whenever it's 250 people, you kind of find more like-minded people. I mean, hopefully there's orientation, like hopefully there's all these things, but if not, like, and you have specifics, you know, you're on Zoom or whatever, join our Facebook group, chat us up. I mean, I know there's a bunch of other girls in there that would probably give you their opinion on what to do. I mean, like I said, we're opposites on the sense of like our outgoing personalityness. So, you know, even Samantha recognizes that she would have to work a little bit harder to make friends, you know? So even the shy girl or guy out there is going to have to like get out of that comfort zone, which I know is horrible, but you have nothing to lose, you know?
Also,
just be the nice guy. Sorry.
The law school experience, I think the friendships that we've made is what has made it so great. Like I love the fact that Haley came up to me and that like I was so uncomfortable to meet other people, and like we just formed our friend group, and like I don't think I would have appreciated my law school experience without my friends. And I think for a lot of people, like it's your support system, you know. A lot of us are away from family, you know. My family is across the country, your family is far away, you can't just go every weekend, you know. They become your little family.
Yeah. And we're all like, well, other than Bailey, like this is a new state for us too. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, even that on top of it is you kind of have that in common, and like having one of our friends be, you know, an Okie,
a local.
Yeah. It helps. And like, we can take her word for things, and I don't know, you just kind of learn different things and everyone brings something to the table.
So what about competition and friendship?
I think it's really easy to let, a competitive nature in law school like get between you and your friends or your support group or a group of people that
your study group,
yeah, that you might like and really appreciate. But I say this all the time, you know, being competitive and being in a competition in your mind with someone else is a choice that you make. And if you can choose to be happy for the other person and happy that they're successful and they've done better because they're a reflection of you. I mean, if they're your friend and you really love them, like them getting A's and stuff, like you're proud of them because they're doing their best. And sometimes we can't all be A students. Like that's just not the way life works. So, you know, I think that that's giving yourself grace, being humble. And like, sometimes you might be the top student and you hope that your friends would be proud of you and there for you. And that's what really matters, is like just being a group of successful lawyers, not just one of us beating the other down, because that is what 1L can feel like sometimes, is like, oh my gosh, we are literally like, we're crabs like pulling each other up and down because we're against each other. But it's not really like that. Like you have your skill set, you know, you have your knowledge, and you know, sometimes there are just people out there that have a little bit more than you. And I think in law school, you learn that, because most of us were so smart and were, let's say, the smartest in your friend group or in your group in college and stuff like that. And now things are much different.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely struggled with not, obviously, like I didn't want to have a competition with my friends first and foremost, but I mean, I know that I'm a competitive person. And I know that in every situation in my life, I've always wanted to be the best, right? But I'm also, when people do better than me, I feel like, okay, what can I do to do that, right? So I think in first semester, I mean, I told my study group are my friends. If you guys, like, whenever we say study group, just know we're talking about our close group of friends. Because that's what we are. But I told him, I was like, maybe we shouldn't share our grades with each other because, you know, that could make things sour. Like, I don't know how things would go. Like, because also, like, we had only been hanging out for a few months at that point. We didn't know how exams and grades were going to affect. Like, what if, Haley was top student? Do you think that would have changed our relationship? I don't know. Right?
Yeah.
It's something we're scared of.
Yeah. And I think that that is the part that everyone's worried about. And that's what we get the question of, is like, can I have friends? You know, is the competition too much?
Are they out to get me at the end?
Exactly. Like, are they hiding something from me? I think it's all about trust and being open and vulnerable and like looking at the person. And like, I have trust issues, LOL. But I think whenever you get to a point, you know, like, can I really trust this person? And even though, like you're saying, we'd only known each other for really a small span of time, it felt like we'd known each other even longer because our relationship was so like quick, you know, and we were thrown into a lot of time together and a lot of points where we were really in high stress and we had to be communicative and we had to basically be like, I'm freaking out or I'm really upset or, you know, sometimes
I'm not feeling like I'm supposed to be here a lot of times.
Yeah. Or, you know, sometimes you do bad in a class or you do something bad and you're embarrassed and you don't want to tell them, but they know, you know. And I think that there are those times where you just have to like be there for each other and you can't take things too personal. And it can be really hard. I totally get that. I mean, there were times where I literally thought like exactly what Samantha just said, like I shouldn't be here. And even when these people that you, like she said, barely know are telling you should, I mean, props to them, one, for saying that, because they could just easily, like if you're a really malicious person, you could just be like, yeah, you're not supposed to be here. You know, and most people hopefully, like, I mean, I haven't experienced that, but if people do say that to you, like, they're not, one, not your friend, get away from them. And two, like, go cry by yourself, but like, we're here for you too, you know?
Yeah. I think law school just gets a bad rap about, you know, competition. And luckily our school isn't like one of those schools where they're tearing out stuff out of the books in the library. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe they are. I just haven't had that experience.
We haven't had to go to the library and but get anything.
Yeah, exactly. And because everything's online now. But I think like at the beginning, making friends and like figuring out who we wanted to trust, like we couldn't trust everybody.
Yeah. And that was hard at first. I mean, there were a lot of learning curves that we went through.
And not everyone has your best interest. Like if someone's being your friend, but they're really not supporting you or they're making you feel stupid, you know?
Yeah. Or they're hiding something. You can tell like those are signs of a bad relationship and like you should get out, you know? And sometimes, I don't know, it's scary to be on your own in law school and like not be with a group of people. But sometimes doing that is the best thing you can do for yourself. And it makes you push yourself and understand like what you have to do. And I think, you know, once you're happy with yourself, like say after the first semester, second semester, there's still more people out there to meet and you can still have more friends. So like one time and one thing doesn't make or break you, you know?
Exactly. So what do you think are some good ways that people can meet people right in law school? Like what did we do? And I guess what should people do now with this COVID situation?
Yeah. So, I mean, I would definitely go to events if they have them. Don't be afraid to like strike up a conversation with people. Like I said, going back to like everyone's new and fresh and nervous, like, you know, don't be afraid. And also like if someone does strike up a conversation with you and you're the shy person, like don't be a butthole and like not talk to them, you know, like try to like be open and get out of your comfort zone, even if you're scared shitless, right? Like I get it.
Also, I think, for us, at least we'd go out in like groups of girls. Like if you're, I mean, not everyone's into like going out and, you know, going to the bars and stuff, but if someone just wants to like grab a drink or something, like that's a great way to meet people. I know that's how we met a lot of people in section two and got to be friends with a lot of people in our own section is just going out and like meeting up at a bar and everyone just kind of meets hangs out. And that's a great way too.
And you can just stand around and talk to different people and like give yourself, try to force yourself there for 30, 45 minutes. And then if you're hating it, then go home. Like at least you tried and you can just like, you know, people will remember you. Like we said, it's a small community. You want people to know your face and, you know, things like that. If you have a significant other or you're married, like you can still go and you just need to focus on being comfortable, doing your best. But and that means, you know, reading, going to class and just trying to understand the information. And you're probably going to use these people that you're meeting like to talk about these subjects.
I think it's just the best way to bond with people. Like I've met some of the best people just hanging out in groups and being like, I'm so shy. I don't think you guys understand. It's like I have to have people like convince me to go talk to other people, you know, but I've gotten a lot better doing it. And I think it's just because once you realize that no one is out to get you for the most part, everyone's in the same situation in law school. They all just want to have a buddy.
Yeah.
And everyone's scared out of their minds. And that's why we bond great.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, once you like show that you're vulnerable and you're not trying to like peacock it, I think that's another thing, you know, people will try to be like, oh, I'm not scared. Like, bro, we all know we're scared. Like, just be vulnerable, you know? And then people are like, I can be friends with this person. You know, you're cool. Like, you're like, just like me. And then you're like, okay, let's hang out or let's study after this. You know, like that's whenever you're developing a relationship and there's just nothing like that. You know, that's the goal.
Exactly. I guess for the people that are going to be starting 1L next semester
on Zoom,
for the, I mean, a lot of you guys that from what we've heard are completely online. People from our school are, I guess, hybrid ish. I mean, I don't really know exactly what the 1Ls are doing.
I still think they'll have events. Yeah, you know? Yeah.
I think you guys definitely need to go to events if you can. I would say join a club. I mean, if you're going to be all on Zoom, might as well join several clubs because you know, at that point, you're just going to be at home. So,
yeah. And honestly, don't be afraid to add people on Instagram, talk to them via DM, get their number. You know, maybe you can invite one of them over for a wine night or things like that. Like, don't be afraid to do that. I know obviously you can't go out and have drinks at bars. And if you're all online, like most likely your city isn't open and there aren't places to go. So, you know, don't be afraid to just have a group of girls over. Like if you are the outgoing person, like if it were me, I would force myself, even though I wouldn't want to do it, like to have a group of people over that I've never really met and hang out and have everyone meet each other. And like, you know, you'll feel better. It's endorphins, you know?
Yeah. And I think just knowing that, like, if you really do cultivate these relationships, like these people can have your back and like, they're going to be maybe your business partners one day. Like I never knew that when I was coming to Oklahoma that I'd be starting a podcast with a fellow law student that also happens to be like my best friend. You know, I think the work that you put in is what you're going to get out of it.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's with dating, and that's with friendships too.
Yeah, and being communicative in both as a law student, whether they're a fellow law student, your friend, or boyfriend, girlfriend, whether either relationship they're in law school or not, you have to, you know, set expectations and you have to communicate really well. So
communication is number one.
Yeah.
I think especially because, like we were talking about before, high stress situations, like it's hard to be communicating with people when you're not feeling your best and you don't even know what you're feeling. And I know that I definitely dealt with like miscommunication and feeling like, you know, sometimes I read a text and I'm like, oh, they're out to get me, but it's really just me.
And yeah. And you're just nervous and scared. And like I think you learn a lot about yourself too, don't you think? Because you learn how you handle stress. You learn that maybe you aren't so trusting, or maybe you are genuinely really a competitive person.
I know. I didn't know I was as competitive until I got here.
And that's what I'm saying. You learn these little things about yourself and you're like, okay, I gotta bring this back for my own good. It's not for anyone else. It's for yourself. You know, I gotta do this for me so that I can be happy and like live a genuinely happy life, you know?
Yeah.
And that's when I say about the competition thing, you know, it's like, you don't want to like be upset and not have friends. Like, I know you know, and you're just like, yeah, you're right. I don't, like, what do you mean? And I think sometimes just saying things out loud and being like, you know, I don't have to feel this way in law school is so important with imposter syndrome, with competition, with dating.
I think we'll probably do a whole episode on competition because
it's very relevant.
It's real. Like when they say that law school is extremely competitive, they're not lying. Like, I mean, of course, like you said, you choose to be competitive, but it just happens that law school attracts a lot of these people that are choosing to be competitive.
Yeah, really just competitive people. Like, you wouldn't be there if you
weren't competitive.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
And so then, you know, some people are malicious and they play mind games, and you catch yourself in these situations like we had said, with
taken advantage of,
being taken advantage of, all the things of just like, and I think that's why when we did find each other, it was like, okay, I got to stick with these people because I really trust them. And like over time, we really realized like,
we just want the best for each other. Like,
exactly.
If one of us succeeds, that's like a success for the whole group.
That's what I'm saying. They're a representation of me, you know, they're my friends. And like, if one of them makes law review editor, like I am freaking pumped, like, you know, and that's all I have ever wanted to be. Like, I, even though I would be sad, like I would be so happy because they're extension of myself. Like, I love them, you know? So I think that's the important part. Once you do find those people, if that's how you feel, then you know you're with the right people.
What would you say to people that want to make friends outside of law school? Because I know it's pretty hard if you're in a new state.
Yeah, I'll say so, you know, during law school, you know, there were times where I was like, man, am I going to like meet other people? And I think your 1L year, it's hard because you're just around them all the time. And I think you kind of just need to use that time to get to know as many people in law school as you can. But after that, you know, you're going to start working. You're going to start, you know, having more time to do different activities, whether that's working out or going to the gym or going, you know, to church or whatever it is, you know, and just making a conscious effort to talk to people and really listen to them, because I know sometimes like we can just live in our own little worlds. I think, you know, that's something you can do. And even if they are other lawyers that, you know, other kids in law school, you know, you just meet new people that you haven't met before and you kind of just can develop different relationships.
Anything else you want to add?
Nope, that's all I got. Well, guys, thank you so much for listening and tuning in to this week's episode. I know we touched on a lot of different things here about dating and friendships, but, you know, these are just crazy times. And as you guys, Rising 1Ls, get closer and closer to starting law school, we want to give y'all content that you can really use. So we hope this was helpful.
Yep. And make sure to follow us on our Instagram at Ladies Who Law School Podcast. Also like our Facebook. And we'll link the Facebook group below. We really want you guys to join it. We have quite a lot of people on there right now. And they're chatting it up. So definitely join, and we'll be back next week.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye.